Welcome to Here's the Scoop, a podcast that takes a bite-sized look at the evolution of food and trends from a uniquely Canadian perspective. I'm your host, Pei Chen. Today, we're talking about ice cream. Ice cream was one of those joyful treats, and I have so many memories tied to the excitement and anticipation of ice cream as a kid, and even as an adult. I love that on a hot day, eating ice cream is actually a race against time. In this episode, we're delving into the origins of ice cream and learning about the surprising inventor of the banana split, the retro dessert that always seems to be making a comeback. And later on in the episode, we'll talk to a psychotherapist about the connection between ice cream and nostalgia. But first, let's talk about the history of the dessert. Maria Deppenweiler is a professional home economist and food scientist who studied food and nutrition at Ryerson University. She explains that ice cream wasn't invented on a particular day. It was more of an evolution.
The first mentions of an ice cream-like dessert was first eaten in China around 618 AD during the time of the Tang Dynasty, where there was a description of a dessert that was made out of cow's or buffalo or goat milk that was mixed in with ice and flavored with camphor. That would probably be the earliest mention of ice dessert that is resembling an ice cream. In medieval times, Arabs used to consume an iced drink that was called sherbet. It was flavored with pomegranate or quince or cherry, and later on this particular sherbet drink migrated to Europe and became widely popular with European aristocracy. Italians are said to have mastered this drink-making technique.
The 17th century is when these iced drinks were made into a frozen dessert with the addition of sugar. That's when sorbet was created. But getting this treat to be really cold was a challenge. Mixing the ingredients in a bowl that was placed on ice just wasn't cutting it.
Later on, people figured out that adding salt to the ice mixture decreased the temperature even further. And that was the maximal progress that was done in ice cream making up until early 19th century. Then in the late 19th century, hand-cranked ice cream maker was patented in America, and that is something that's been used for a while, but it's not until late 19th century and early 20th century that when the development of mechanical refrigeration led to the development of the modern ice cream industry. Up until then, it was mostly artisanal, and it was mostly available to the richer population who could afford to have special people preparing it.
As for Canada, the first record of ice cream being sold here was in 1850, but it became more popular towards the late 1800s.
An individual called William Neilson produced his first commercial batch of ice cream on Gladstone Avenue in Toronto around 1893. And his company was producing ice cream at that same location for about 100 years.
But the story behind the banana split is what I find the most intriguing. It's said to be invented by a 23-year-old named David Strickler in Pennsylvania in 1904.
So what he did, he split a banana from one end to the other, and split it in half, put it on a long dish, and heaped three scoops of ice cream between those halves. He garnished them generously with marshmallows, pineapple, crushed nuts, and then he added the different kinds of syrups and obviously the little red cherry on top, and called it the banana split sundae. And the reason he came up with banana split is that he was challenged by one of his usual customers to create something new and unusual.
But here's the twist. Strickler was a pharmacy clerk. He was working at a soda fountain that was part of a drugstore, which was actually very common during the rise of the drug revolution.
Quite a lot of medicine came in the form of syrups and powders. So to make them more palatable, the pharmacist would blend it together with the soda water. So basically, a soda fountain was not so much as a source of soft drinks, but also a way to take a medicine. So soda fountains would serve both the medicated concoctions, refreshments, as well as ice creams, floats, and banana splits.
Maria explains that since then, the banana split has ebbed and flowed in popularity. It was overshadowed when soft serve came onto the scene, since it wasn't as conducive to being scooped between the banana slices. But it always seems to make its way back.
There are different variations of banana split that are revisited. That means the ingredients are more or less the same, but the shape and the way it's served is different. And a good example for that would be something like a banana split pie or banana split pops. There's also variations in terms of newer ingredients. Like, for example, there's a blueberry and whiskey banana split. So this is something where I guess there's no limit to the imagination in terms of where the banana split evolution can take us. And it's definitely a work in progress.
As the evolution of ice cream and the banana split continues, this year, President's Choice launched two new products, the PC Ice Cream Shop Banana Split Ice Cream and Mini Ice Cream Bars. Ben Holland is one of the Loblaw food scientists behind the creations. I got a chance to talk to him about the process of inventing new ice cream flavors. Let's talk about how long it takes to come up with a new ice cream flavor.
So it can vary quite a bit. I mean, sometimes we've definitely had some where we're just like, oh, this idea is a total winner. We got to get it to market as quickly as possible kind of thing. But generally speaking, it's 12 to 18 months kind of thing. Like we're looking at kind of next year, sort of now. And that way we're kind of close enough to the relevant trends, but we've actually got enough time to follow our full process and develop the product and then develop the packaging as well, right? To get it to shelf.
Yeah, because there's so many steps in it. It's not just the product. It's getting it out. It's getting the right name, the label, all of those things.
Exactly. And that stuff takes a large portion of the time is actually the package as well, which is super important because, I mean, customers don't spend very long on looking at products on the shelf. So you really have to have the packaging right to catch their attention and get them to find your new stuff.
So what is the first step in creating a new flavor? In my mind, I picture a room of people who are like, let's talk ice cream. How about dill pickle, sriracha? I don't know, like just like throwing out random ideas. So how does it start?
You know, you're not entirely wrong. There's times when it can be a bit like that. But I mean, research, right? Research is definitely where I say it all starts is... we spend a lot of time looking at trends. We're always out and about, at least we used to always be out and about. And we look at what's happening in restaurants and bakeries and what's selling well in our stores across the country. Because sometimes there's things that we can pick up from one region and bring to customers across the country. Last year, we went on an ice cream tour one day. I think we got through like 62 or 63 different ice creams in one day.
Oh, my
which
God.
Yeah, it was extreme. But...
I can't even list 62 different kinds of ice cream. I'm like, what have I been missing in my life that I can
exactly.
only think of two dozen,
exactly.
maybe, but I can't even imagine having that many varieties.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And basically we're just always kind of trying to see what's getting people excited when it comes to indulgent foods like ice cream, right? Because it might not actually be something from ice cream. It might be something that's really awesome in bakery or in candy, and that's where we get the inspiration to do something in the ice cream segment. And of course, as a kind of like you said, with people yelling out names, there's a lot of people in a room tasting a bunch of stuff, so we always try and do the hard work there.
Well, we admire you for the hard work that you put into it. I mean, we're all indebted
appreciate
to you
it.
For that. So the banana split, which to me is like, I think banana split, I think kind of classic, a little bit nostalgic, not too fussy. Like there, it's a familiar dessert, but I probably haven't had one in a very long time. So how did you land on deciding that banana split would be the ice cream flavor for this summer?
You kind of alluded to it right there. It's not too fussy, and it's totally something that, like, who doesn't know what a banana split is, right? It's sort of synonymous with ice cream shops. And so we'd seen banana in ice cream and banana flavors as kind of a trend that we'd been following a little bit, and we'd kind of seen it increase in prevalence and increase in how much people are buying. So then we kind of said, okay, if we want to do something cool with banana, what fits really well? What would be a good way to go about this? And kind of tossed around a few ideas. And our Scoop Shop lineup is sort of all about ice creams that you would normally buy at a Scoop Shop, right? Like at somewhere. And I mean, every place has their own local shops, and there's a bunch of national chains as well and things. So it was, what's the kind of thing that you would get there? And we're like, well, you might not get it as one ice cream, but totally banana split fits for something that you could get here. And it just felt like a really good way to kind of bring some of the nostalgia back and play off of that.
Now, how does it become the winner? Is there like an internal voting process? You put ballots into a box. Like is the runner-up ice cream something that would have been similar or completely different? And then in the end, you're like, no, I think this one is the winner. I think banana split is, you know, summer 2020.
No, it's not as sort of structured as that, I guess. There are a bunch of sort of hurdles that we go through internally. So part of that is we've kind of got an internal tasting panel and we work through it with them.
Okay, so you mentioned it loosely there, but I want to know a bit more about the tasting process because it sounds really dreamy.
There's a lot of people that I have to say don't really believe that part of my job is real. They're like, so seriously, you're saying that you worked a full day and you tasted like how many ice creams and pizzas and whatever else today?
It sounds like the perfect job.
and I honestly, it is a pretty incredible job. I am hugely lucky to do what I do. It's pretty great. And to do it where I do, because there's like nowhere else that you get to work on this breadth of stuff and this much innovative product at a time. So it seems like it's like a total dream. Now, when you've got to do like 24 types of ice cream at 9 o'clock in the morning, it's not always what all it's cracked up to be.
Right.
It's pretty fantastic. And basically that's a lot of what our job is.
So how many variations of something like the banana split ice cream would you have tasted before you end up on your final product?
Oh God.
Like, are we talking like, you know, yeah, a dozen like or, you know, 50, like, is it tweaked that much?
Honestly, really depends on the product. I think the banana split was probably somewhere in the like 10 to 15 ish range. Mm-hmm. Some of them are just silly. Like it's like when you get to version 25 of something, you know, it's a real struggle, but, and sometimes we nail it in like two. It really depends on kind of, a lot on experience, a lot on, working with great suppliers and having good connections with them, because then they understand what you mean when you say, oh yeah, I want to like a ripe banana flavor kind of thing. They're like, yeah, I totally know what he's talking about for that. So there's a lot of that goes into it and on how complex it is. Right. So
right.
Our banana split, like the tub's got a lot going on in there. There's two different ice creams, a chocolate ripple, peanuts, and chopped cherries. Like there's a lot of different things that you have to deal with, versus if it's something with just a couple of ingredients or a couple of flavors, then you can usually get it to it a lot quicker.
So what makes the flavor come to life? Because like you said, it's a lot of components. A banana split is a flavor of many things put together.
Yeah. So this, we kind of sit down with a group of us usually, and it's usually kind of all of us who are working on this category. And then we'll often actually look at a few possibilities to start with and say, okay, let's look at it with all banana ice cream. And then let's look at it with a chocolate or a caramel or a strawberries, and then kind of narrow it down from there. And the fun part with doing something like this is that we always were like, okay, if we're going after banana split, we got to make a banana split to benchmark this and to make sure that whatever we're creating as one tub or as a bar, that it gives you the impression that you're eating a full-on banana split. So that's where we kind of settled on the fact that, yeah, we need a banana ice cream because it's a banana split, but usually there's not actually banana ice cream in a banana split.
No.
You got to have it's all about the vanilla. So that's where we're like, okay, we have to have the vanilla ice cream in there as well to give the balance. And what makes a banana split, half of it's all the toppings, right? So we said the vanilla ice cream, it kind of gives you the ice cream, and it also gives you a bit of the like that whipped cream kind of flavor that you get. And then we got to have a good chocolate ripple in there, because what's a banana split or any kind of a sundae really without like a chocolate sauce or chocolate fudge sauce on it? And then we figured that we kind of tried a few different versions and looked up a bunch of different recipes for banana splits, and we're like, okay, we got to go with the classic toppings of the kind of crushed peanuts and cherries.
And that is sort of, that's how I picture the classic too.
Absolutely.
I haven't had one, like I said, probably since I was a teen, but it's been a long time.
So how many flavors of ice cream would you work on in a year?
There's really no magic number. Mm-hmm. We're always looking to build our portfolio with a few new flavors. So some years, I don't know, some years maybe we're like five. Other years, I think this year we've got 9 new ice creams that we launched.
Ooh, like have they all launched, or are you holding some for holiday?
We've got 9 ice creams that we worked on for this year.
Oh, okay.
And then for this summer. And then there's there should be something, a little surprise coming for holiday as well.
Ooh, yeah. Exciting.
I just tried the final version of it a week ago.
And, really?
I can tell you, I'm excited for it. Absolutely.
Any hints?
No,
I didn't think so.
That's all I'm gonna give you.
I'm like, is it going to be gingerbread? Is it going to be, you know, the candy cane?
It's going to be delicious.
One? Yeah.
It's going to be delicious.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I'll tell you that.
Now, what, I mean, throughout the years and the process of tasting, and we'll stick with ice cream, what are some flavors perhaps that didn't make it past whatever stage that have stood out? So it doesn't mean that it was like good or bad. It could be either one, but that you remember going like, we tried this and this was memorable.
So I mean, one of them actually was one we did launch, and we were so convinced it was going to be awesome. And it was just like a huge flop for us at the time, which was just too bad. It was, I thought it was a killer flavor. We did a peanut butter and jelly.
I remember this. Was this like within the last few years?
No.
Was it longer?
It was probably like 7 years ago, I would say. Somewhere around there.
Okay.
And it was awesome. Like, it really tasted like... it tasted like you were eating a piece of bread with peanut butter and jelly on it. And we managed to get the bread flavor to come out. Like, it was just an awesome product as far as we were all concerned. But... consumers just, I don't know whether they weren't ready for it or whether they just didn't see the joy of it at the time.
But, right.
That was definitely one that was a bit of a like, too bad.
Are there certain qualifications? Are there certain things you look for in that person? I mean, I'm asking for myself partly, but also just wondering what professional qualifications you need.
The biggest one is to be a foodie. All of us are like foodies at heart, like love food trends. Like we'd be doing this stuff on our own time, even if we weren't being paid to do it, kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. So my background is in food science and in culinary, and I would say that's basically what most of the people that do this are, is that most of them have either worked in culinary, so in restaurants or somewhere along those lines, or have a background in food science, or sometimes both.
Well, this has been great. Thank you so much. Now I have to go try the banana split ice cream, obviously.
Yeah, you definitely do.
So So now I want to circle back to the piece I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, the nostalgia element and the joyful memories ice cream seems to bring to most of us. According to Melissa DeFonso, a clinical therapist at Shift Collab in Toronto with a specialization in food, it all comes down to the makeup of the ice cream.
Well, the main ingredients of ice cream, which include the fat, sugar, and salt, those are actually the very things that trigger a reward system in our brain, which has a huge impact on us. And it ends up leading us to actually crave, like biologically crave ice cream. So basically, in our brains, there are neurotransmitters that get activated, and dopamine is one. So dopamine is very much a neurotransmitter that's associated with pleasure. You know, it's like we eat ice cream because, you know, it has all these ingredients that activate this thing in our brain, and it like lights up, ding, ding, ding. And then it's like, ah, oh, like then we really want to, we crave it even more because we've had that positive association that with ice cream, and then dopamine, the dopamine response to it.
Then there's the nostalgic piece.
We have so many positive associations with ice cream from the past. You know, they've often been paired with pleasant memories, you know, especially as children, right? Like a hot summer day, going to the cottage with family, parents, you know, using ice cream as a reward. Pleasure and ice cream are very much tied together, and that really elicits that nostalgia. And so we're more likely to crave it.
And the cherry on top, do you hear what I did there? Is that ice cream is a food that usually requires us to focus on the moment.
Eating ice cream can be such a mindful experience. It really engages all your five senses, like from, you know, the different texture of the ice cream. So sometimes, you know, if you get like a chunky or kind of ice cream with like bits and pieces, so you really can savor that texture, to the sound of the lick, you know, to the crunch of the cone, you know, the coolness of the ice cream. So there's that shift in temperature. Also, you know, there's that licking. When you think of that, that intimacy, right? So as the ice cream melts, whether it melts on the cone or your hand, you know, there's a licking of the ice cream, right, that you do. So it's quite an intimate experience.
So according to Melissa, eating ice cream is a physical and emotional experience. That's why people tend to go to ice cream as comfort food. And even just the sound of the ice cream truck can get us salivating. Even talking about ice cream makes me crave it. So it might be time for a scoop or two. Thanks for listening to Here's the Scoop. I'm Pei Chen. This podcast was produced and edited by Amanda Capito. The sound designer and composer is Olivia Pasquarelli. Its executive producers are Jessica Robinson and Kieran Rana, with creative direction from Monica Bielobreski. The opinions shared in this podcast are of each individual subject and do not represent the views of Loblaw Companies Limited or its affiliates.